Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2. I want to preach this morning on the subject, haps don't just happen. Haps just don't happen. Now, before you write me off as being a lunatic for coming up with a title like that, I need to read the verse. Chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we see it in verse number 3, the thought for my message this morning. But I need to read beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers." Now here's the word. "And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, which was of the kindred of Elimelech." Notice, her hap was to light. My message thought today is simply this: haps just don't happen. Haps just don't happen. And God being my helper, I'd like to point out the justification for that title thought in just a moment. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we bow before you today and we give you thanks and praise for another Lord's Day and another opportunity that I certainly do not take lightly, to stand behind this sacred bench and to attempt to bring a message from the precious Word of God. I thank you this morning for the songs that have so encouraged and strengthened us and blessed us. And I thank you, Father, for that special kind of love and the fact that our Savior is ever interceding. Now, Lord, I pray your blessings upon this message. Pray that you'd visit up and down the pews this morning. If there's someone here that has never bowed their head, as it were, humbled their heart, and accepted the dear Lord, may today be that very day. I pray that the hearts of all of your people might be encouraged. May greater spiritual growth today occur in the lives of all your people as a result of the total aspect of this service. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we all find that an interesting verse. I know I do, where it says her hap was to light. That's a very interesting statement. How many times, if any, do we ever hear that word, the word hap? It's an interesting word. I want to develop the thought today. I just do not believe that haps just happen. Now, here's my reason for that. Let me begin. Haps don't just happen. The Bible says that Ruth gleaned in a field, particularly ending up on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. An unusual word is used here to describe how she ended up gleaning where she gleaned. Her hap got her there, we could say. Her hap got her there. The word hap is an old Anglo-Saxon word that has the same stem for words like perhaps or happens. We might say her chance was to be there, as we think of that word in our understanding. We might also use the word happenstance. From the human standpoint, Ruth coincidentally happened upon the right field by chance. That is, from human perspective. When you read through the book of Ruth, you find that her hap didn't just happen. Her hap would lead to a special person, and a special event would occur. That event would eventually lead to the most important event of all, the birth of Jesus Christ. She may have happened to turn into the right field, but behind the scene, we believe that God was working. God meant her to end up in this particular field. Her hap happened to be the will of God. Let me illustrate my point today. It didn't just happen that back in 1858, a Sunday school teacher led a Boston shoe clerk by the name of Dwight L. Moody to Christ. It didn't just happen that later D.L. Moody preached in England and God used him to reach the heart of a pastor by the name of F.B. Mayer. F.B. Mayer came to America to preach, and a student by the name of Wilbur Chapman heard him preach and was saved. Chapman would get involved with YMCA work and employ a former baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday to do evangelistic work. Billy Sunday would hold a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. The revival would stir the hearts of roughly 30 businessmen, and they would begin to pray, having a special prayer meeting for the city of Charlotte. In May of 1934, a farmer by the name of Franklin Graham loaned the men some land to use for their prayer meeting. They began to pray that out of Charlotte the Lord would raise up someone to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. The businessmen then called for another evangelistic meeting, and they chose the speaker by the name of Mordecai Ham to do the preaching. The farmer's son, Billy Graham, got saved during the meeting, and you know the rest of the story. I want to say this morning that haps don't just happen. Ruth didn't just happen to get to the field of Boaz. Remember now, in scanning back over the beginning part of this book, remember how she had left her gods. She had embraced by faith the only true God. It didn't just happen that she had the discernment to desire to glean ears of corn after the one of whom she said she would find grace. I believe that she started out that morning on the right foot. In my mind, I can see this young Moabite girl leaving the household where her mother was. I believe she started out that morning with a prayerful attitude and a discerning heart. I can see her in my mind walking through the groups of fields. And finally, perhaps she sees two fields. She's asking herself the question, which field do I choose? She may have noticed there were a few gleaners in one field. And then she noticed that in the other field there were more gleaners. And maybe she reasoned something like this. Maybe she's thinking the landowner of the field where there were less gleaners was less generous than the landowner of the field that she chose. So she turned into the field that was owned by Boaz. Dr. J. Vernon McGee made this statement in reference to that. He said that perhaps Ruth came to a choice of which the two fields, when Ruth came to the two fields, Dr. McGee said, he thinks that perhaps the angels of God leaned over the battlements of heaven and they looked over and held their breath and they said, I hope she chooses the right field. Heaven must have sighed a sigh of relief when she turned into the right field. And I say glory to God. God was overruling. We need to understand this morning that our times are in God's hands. We need to understand this morning that nothing happens by accident in the lives of God's people. We need to understand this morning that in spite of the chaotic condition in this world, there is a God who still sits on the throne of glory, and God has everything in control. When Ruth left her house that morning, I believe there's a whole lot riding on her getting to the right field. If she didn't get to the right field, the wise men later on would have had no reason to go to Bethlehem. Time and time again, history and human experience prove to us that haps don't just happen. There was once a king who happened to spend a sleepless night, but the sleeplessness led to the salvation of a nation. And I'm talking about the book of Esther. There was once a Hebrew who happened to be sold into slavery, but it also happened. He became the second ruler of Egypt and the human savior of his people. And I'm talking about Joseph. There was once a little Hebrew maid who happened to be captured by the Syrians, but her master was healed of leprosy as a result of her burden. And I'm talking about Naaman. Ruth may have happened to enter the harvest field, but her happening turned out to be of God's arrangement. Her hap would lead to a marriage. Her marriage would result in a child. And the child would be the ancestor of the one who would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Her hap didn't just happen. Her hap happened after she had left Moab. She had made a decision to go with Naomi. Her hap happened after she left Moab. Her hap happened when she came to the fields of Boaz. Her hap happened when Boaz met her. Her hap happened and Boaz married her. Her hap happened and Obed was born. And eventually David. And yes, thank God, eventually Christ. Now listen to me. Elimelech may have made a wrong decision. Failed when he took his family, when he went down to Moab, but God turned the whole thing around. Now listen to me, Naomi may have turned bitter when all of that happened, but my friend, God had big plans. Her hap would lead her to Boaz. After Boaz was born, after Obed, who was a son, their child was born. After Obed was born, followed the descendants, you find Jesse, you find David, and you eventually find Christ. Now today, this world has nothing to do with God. Everything in the eyes of this world happens by chance or by accident. That's how the world looks at it. Nothing is of God's arrangement in the eyes of this world. I'm talking about human philosophy. Now, if the world was looking on, if the world would even believe the book of Ruth, which it does not, the world would have a different perspective. The world today does not believe that there's a supernatural. If they believed at all in the book of Ruth, they would have simply said that Ruth got lucky and wound up in Boaz's field. Now, think about it for just a moment. Consider the distorted world views that are floating around this morning. There's one particular world view that is the world view of fatalism. The view that all things were determined by an untouchable law of cause and effect. In other words, it's all fate. There's another position of the world called deism. The idea that God created the world, then withdrew himself and backed off, and then let things continue the way they are continuing, and the theologians call that theistic evolution. They give credit for the fact that God originally created, but then God backed off, got into the shadows, and then things developed in an evolutionary way, theistic evolution. The world likes to use the word coincidence. Do you know how many times the word coincidence is found in the Bible? Zero. We do read this. The Bible says a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I believe that God directs a person's steps. I believe, for example, that God directed my steps even before I was saved. Let me explain that before you write me off. I believe that God brings circumstances into people's lives that God can use to get their attention and caused them to see the Lord. I can remember years ago, I'm not proud of saying this, I was sitting in a beer joint as an unsaved heathen, and I took a sip of beer. And I don't know how, of course I know now how, I know why, but even in the thought, I was thinking, this is not all that life is all about. And later on, God got my attention with the fact of what that really meant. The Lord directs people's steps. God knew what He was doing. He still knows what He's doing in your life today. Haps just don't happen. Haps turn out to be the will of God. I'm thinking right now of three haps. I know three haps. In other words, do you know this morning, I know the will of God for people's lives. Now, wait a minute. I know the will of God in people's lives in three general ways. I know the will of God for your life this morning, unsaved person, if you're unsaved. God desires you to be saved. Who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know the will of God for a lost person today. God does not want to send anyone to hell. Jesus took care of the sin debt. You can be saved today. God's will is that unsaved people be saved. Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a hap that I know of. I call that the hap of salvation. Also this morning, I believe there's another hap. That's the will of God. You know what that is? Not the hap of salvation, but the hap of sanctification. Sanctification. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. I can say this morning, I know the will of God for every Christian in this service today. It's your sanctification. Because the Bible says right there, the will of God is your sanctification. I'm quoting the Bible. What does sanctification mean? It means set apart. Sanctification should be a progressive thing. Sanctification will be an ultimate glorious thing. Sanctification begins with justification, and we're going to be moving along as we go along, getting closer to heaven, getting closer to eternity. We ought to be getting closer to God in the process. We ought to be becoming more Christ-like. Be sanctified means to be set apart. Our lives ought to be a gradual, progressive thing of being set apart more and more. I believe that's the sanctification hap. God's will is that we be sanctified. I think this morning not only the salvation hap, not only the sanctification hap, but I believe there's a service hap. Ephesians 6:5. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. I see three haps: salvation, sanctification, and service. Those are three. Those would represent the will of God in a general sense. Ruth's hap didn't just happen. Didn't just happen. That leads me to say this to you this morning: it didn't just happen that you're here today. It did. You didn't just happen to show up this morning. I'm glad you did, but you didn't just happen to get here. It didn't just happen, for some of you perhaps, when you hit rock bottom. It didn't just happen, Christian, when we look back over our lives and find ourselves at the time when our life bottomed out. Our backs were against the wall, and it was either turn to God or be overwhelmed with grievous grief and disappointments. But God knew what He was doing. It didn't just happen that the prodigal came to the end of himself in a far country of sin. It didn't just happen. My friend, wit's end is the best place to start over. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen the misery and the gloom of our sinful state because the Spirit of God was using all of that to show us our weakness and to show us our frustration and to cause us to get our eyes upon the Lord. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen that you're being tried today. It didn't just happen. I believe the divine potter is putting more detail in his work of grace in our lives. It didn't just happen that America today is facing its greatest crisis. I believe that God is showing this nation it needs more than crafty politicians to make it better. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen today that the drug epidemic is increasing. It didn't just happen that alcoholism is increasing. It didn't just happen the homicide rate has increased. It didn't just happen there's all of the chaos in our society. It didn't just happen. It's not good, we say. But let me tell you something. How can God sometimes get the attention of a nation until he literally allows that nation to bottom out, to realize it had better look up or it's gone down, there'll be no existence? It didn't just happen. I believe we've got to our place as a nation because our hap happened to land in the field. I believe that God is trying to wake America up this morning. I believe that God is trying to do something in hearts of people. I believe that God is trying to show us that sin is taking a toll and we need redemption and deliverance from sin. It didn't just happen. If we really believe that history is his story, then we can believe that every aspect of human life involves a divine author adding further details to his history book of eternity. I believe this morning that God would be delighted to fill the book of life of the Lamb's book, let's say, with the names of more redeemed. But the great history book of the ages lists only, I would clarify that a moment, I believe the great author is desiring that more people's names be added in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the unfortunate thing, many are saying, as Jesus put it, you will not come to me that you might have life. Many are refusing the gracious, glorious offer of the gospel. But my friend, it's not God's will that you perish. It's not God's will that you wind up in hell. It's not God's will that you be banished from his favor. His son, when he died for your sin debt just like he died for mine. When he shed his blood was shed for you like it was shed for me. The only merits of any goodness about me that I have is the grace of God that's been infused in my soul. I cannot boast in anything in and of myself. It's the Lord God that gets the credit. I don't deserve to be saved, and I certainly don't deserve to be a gospel preacher. But listen to me this morning. I'm no better than anyone else. The same glorious, gracious God that reached down and saved my soul would love to save every soul. None of us are any better than the other. The credit goes to the grace of God. Grace of God. I say this morning, don't miss the opportunity of the hap. I think of Esther right now. The book of Esther. I like what Mordecai said. And I believe that ties in with this thought. For if thou, Mordecai talking to Esther, he said, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou in thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then catch this. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? My friend, her hap landed. Esther's hap landed. God intended that Esther be elevated to that position because the Lord used that godly woman to deliver and to save from the Holocaust of the Jewish people in the book of Esther. Haps don't just happen. They don't. Get it out of your mind. I believe there's a purpose for everything. I would remind this congregation this morning that Bible sermons don't just happen. I'm of the old-fashioned sort that I believe that if a man is a gospel preacher, he has something to say. I believe that not only he has something to say, but a preacher worth his salt that prays over what to preach. When he stands in the pulpit and opens the Word of God, it is a message that the church needs to hear. Amen. This sermon didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, then my friend Ruth chapter 2 verse number 3 fits in. Her hap did not just happen. She got there because God wanted her there. I believe, my friend, this morning when you come to that very one verse right there, there is sermons and sermons that we could preach from that, but thank God because her hap was there and Ruth was there, I can stand this morning and say, the Lord has come. Christ came on time to the manger, on time to the cross, on time through the tomb, on time back to heaven, on time on the throne, on time when He comes back, on time during the millennium. Everything is on time. He's an on-time God. Haps don't just happen. You may be here this morning discouraged, upset, defeated. It's not just a happening. There's a reason for that. Could be this morning God is wanting, in fact, I believe this. I believe God is wanting to get your attention, Christian. I believe God's wanting you to sell out to Him. I believe God's reminding you there's no earthly props that are stable enough to hold you when times get bad. God is teaching us through the experiences of life we need to lean on Him and trust Him and depend upon Him. That's what God would teach us. That's what He wants out of us. Take the bad times and let God make you a better person with them. The Lord is not a bully. God is not out to get anybody. We go through what we go through for a reason. Haps don't just happen. The Lord would take the bitter times of our life and plug them into the wall circuit, the spiritual wall circuit of Romans 8:28 anyway. He plugs it in. When the circuit is fired up, and it is, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Haps don't just happen. This service this morning could be a turning point in your life. This service this morning could be a revival for you. This service this morning could cause you to get your eyes off of yourself and off of your problems and put your eyes on God for a change and let the Lord do something today in your life. I'd say this altar probably needs to be full of people. I know many of you are struggling today thinking, the lot's fallen on you and thinking you've been singled out to go through what you've gone through. God is, it could be, and I believe this morning because haps don't just happen. I believe the potter is trying to do something special in your life that he can't do apart from putting you under a little discomfort. Because otherwise, we're all lazy in our nature. We coast along. But when God pulls out the rug from under our feet, then we know who we need to depend on. If you're here today as a struggling Christian, understand haps don't just happen. Let God take this sermon today and bless you and help you and push you forward and make you a better Christian. An unsaved person this morning, God's hap is a salvation hap for you. You need to be saved. Christian, God's hap is a sanctification hap for us. We need to be, it's God's will we be sanctified. And Christian, God's hap for us is a service hap, serving Him, as the verse says. Haps don't just happened. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, this morning.